Why is he making a party, by the way?
Because to celebrate all the kings.
Because it's the third year of his reign, and he feels like settled. Yeah, it's really strange.
Oh no, it's probably his reign feels settled. He feels secure in his reign. No one's gonna take him. He feels like.
Yeah, but it doesn't make any sense. Why? It's like a chazaka.
No, it's just celebrating the fact is that his reign is secure. That's it.
What made
it
secure?
There are people plotting against him.
Probably people who were just plotting against him. Probably maybe a plot was taken out.
But it doesn't say, right? No, it says it was a third year of his reign, and so he decided that, you know, to make a big party. It's a little strange, right? Like, we're not given any background or insight into, like, what this is all about. So, Chazal, say what?
Say what?
There was...
No.
Oh, my bad.
That he felt...
He just became ruler of all this 127 nations, and he fought all the war.
Chazal tell us that he felt secure in his reign because the Jews aren't going back.
Oh.
Why? Why would he think the Jews aren't going back? So the answer to that is because there was a nevuah that the Jews were going to be in exile for 7 years. You know this?
70.
Yirmiyahu HaNavi said, you're going to go to Babylon, you're going to stay there for 7 years.
70.
And he made his calculation that the 70 years are up and they didn't go back. Ha ha ha!
Yeah.
And he's still here.
Yeah? So like he felt very secure. That, and because, you know...
So after they didn't like the Jews?
So... It's according to Chazal, he like dressed up in the big day kahuna. And he served like things from the Beis HaMikdash, right? Like he was using things from the Beis HaMikdash. That was a demonstration that the Jews ain't going back. I can do this and I'm not going to get in trouble. God ain't going to punish me. So that doesn't say that in the Megillah. All it says in the Megillah is, oh, in the third year of his reign, he made a big party. Why?
Didn't he get really punished for that and write on the wall?
Oh, so that's Belshazzar. That was before his time.
No.
That's in Sefer Daniel. That's actually how. Okay, so in Sefer Daniel, it says that there was a king named Belshazzar, and Belshazzar was after took over after I forgot if it was related, but he took over after Nebuchadnezzar.
No chairs here.
They're all over there.
No, it's right there. Just they're all over there. It's invisible.
The room looks like it got cleaned.
Just sit.
Anyway, bottom line is, according to Chazal, Belshazzar also did this. Belshazzar also made a calculation about when the Jews are supposed to go back and not going back, and said, ha ha ha!
That's two chairs.
I know. Crazy, right?
You have to call them chairs.
No, don't put
chairs. No, those are chairs. So, Belshazzar did this also, they say. That's what Chazal says. And, like, crazy thing happened. That was Tashlumin.
They love sorting his books.
Belshazzar did the same thing, and there was a hand that came out of nowhere. And this hand wrote a bunch of things on the wall, and it said, Tekel, Tekel, Menu, Farsin. Tekel, Tekel, Menu, Farsin.
Tickle, tickle,
set. Yeah, their hand wrote it. When you ever hear the phrase, the handwriting on the wall, like it's all over, the handwriting is on the wall, it comes from Sefer Daniel, because his hand came out of nowhere after Belshazzar made his party. And wrote Tekel Tekel Menu Farsin on the wall.
Tickle, tickle, menu.
That was the handwriting on the wall. That's where that phrase comes from, by the way.
Tickle, tickle,
you never tickle, heard that before? The handwriting on the wall?
That's what I thought.
Tickle, like the nail on the coffin, it's all over, the handwriting's on the wall.
Tickle, tickle, menu,
Farsin.
Yeah.
So that was Aramaic. And Aramaic Tekel Tekel Shekel Shekel means Wade Wade, Mina, counted, Ufarsin. And it's split. Yeah?
What does that mean?
Tuckle, tuckle. It's shekel, shekel. It's Wade. Wade, Wade.
Wade?
Wade. Like shekel. Wade, Wade. Mina is manui, is counted. Ufarsin, pras, horas, to spread out.
And this sounds hot.
Yeah? So that means your kingdom has been weighed, counted, and divided. Your kingdom is going to be split in the future into these different kingdoms. Yeah? That night, he was assassinated. And Vashti was his daughter, I believe, and she was spared because she was hot. I don't know if that's why, but anyway. So That was Belshazzar.
Because they wanted us to have some temperance, right? If we leave this Vashti ship.
Wasn't he assassinated by his own guys?
No, it was a rebellion and he assassinated. Yeah. Anyway, so same for Daniel if you want to learn more information about that. Okay, fine. So where are we now? So Achashverosh makes a party. It doesn't say why in the Megillah, but we are told by Chazal because he also saw the Jews were forsaken. The 70-year of Nebuah didn't happen. Makes a party. What happens at the party?
Womp womp.
He gets drunk and then he requests that Vashti comes to his party.
We're done with Shmos.
Right.
But then Vashti refuses.
And it doesn't actually say naked. It just says Bekesser Malchus. So if you're reading the words without any midrashim, it sounds like he was just like telling her what to do and show up in her like as he's the boss. That's what it sounds like. It doesn't sound like she has to come naked. Chazal says she was supposed to come naked and she refused. But either way, she's refusing what the king wants her to do. So what happens?
I wish I was there. She refuses and then
execution.
And then Ahasuerus sends Vashti away from the away from the kingdom.
No.
We don't actually know what happened to Vashti, right?
No, she gets killed, doesn't she?
It doesn't actually say.
No,
she's sent away. She's sent away.
Bro, was there kosher food at the party?
Idea of Haman.
Probably.
Yeah, probably. See?
It's so surprising how...
Now, it doesn't say Haman, by the way.
It seemed that Haman is Haman.
Mordechai did not go.
No.
It wasn't Haman that told Ahasuerus.
There's a medrash that says that.
Oh yeah.
Because it doesn't sound like it from the Megillah. Because the Megillah doesn't talk about Haman coming to power until later.
Yeah. Until, like,
it doesn't sound like he's involved.
Esther comes in.
But Chazal say that was Haman. Okay. So the king. Okay. Now, by the way, this was like a political mess for the king. There's a lot of politics in Miguel Sester. I don't know if you're interested in like political. What do they call this? Political something?
Political theater.
Yeah, whatever. If you're interested in this thing,
correct?
No. Like
political action debate.
Yeah, you know how politics go.
Poli-side.
There's a lot going on in Miguel Sester. There really is. So Achashverosh, his advisors told him, "You know what's gonna happen? Here's gonna happen. This is crazy." If you let Vashti live after she totally didn't do what you told her to do,
women will have rights.
Women will have rights. That's basically what happened. And they said women are going to rebel against their husbands, and there's not going to be any more like manly rule. And he's like, "Oh, we can't have that. We have to kill her." It's like a little nuts. So they actually, do you know this? Like you read this? You read through the Megillah Esther? Do you know what actually says they sent out a proclamation that men should rule the house?
Bro, we can record everything.
We don't have to, whatever. But yeah, okay, but seriously, yeah, that's what it says. Leos, this is the end of the first parak. Leos, they sent out a proclamation.
They must have been insecure if they like really thought that, like, you know,
it's
they
a little
were in
crazy
danger of women taking over.
Okay, what happens next? Keep going.
Then after once Vashti sent away Ahasuerus, the next day I think ask Vashti to come back.
It's actually how long ago. It could be it was a while, but okay, either way.
Because he misses her, but then like realizes that she can't come back.
That's for sure.
So now he's looking for a new queen.
Right. So, you know, instead of like doing what every other king in the history of the world does, like approach the other kings and say, "I heard you have a daughter." You know what I'm saying? Hey, Gabi, how would you find a wife if you were a king? You would probably ask the other kings for their daughter in marriage. Probably someone that like you wanted to make peace with or gain more territory with, right? Like this is what the kings did. What?
That's what, that's what King Shlomo did. That's why he had so many wives. Because his friends with so many.
So he does like the strangest thing, and he just wants like a really hot chick, I guess. So he
well,
tries.
Well, already huge, so like it's not like he needs.
What?
He already had like 60-70% of the known world.
Yeah, like he didn't really.
See that ruled like all of Mesopotamia, which was like you know the known world of the time, the populated world, you know. Except for the Indians in America, and they were lost because they just thought they were India. Anyway, so, all right, so what happens? That's when yesterday we spoke about this. Mordechai! But we don't really care about that right now, right? That's that funny way to introduce Esther. So we introduce Esther. Okay, keep going.
So as like so then one of the like guards, like or the like people who are like searching for the woman finds Mordechai, and they were able to find Esther because she was hidden by Mordechai.
Yeah, in other words, apparently she was very beautiful. And so I guess
she was Adassa, right?
Yeah. So I guess somehow she was known. People knew about her. I don't know. It doesn't say how they figured it out. But they found her, and she was really, you know, beautiful. So they said, "Ah, you're coming with us."
Mordechai tells Esther to tell the people that your name is Esther instead of Hadassah, because Esther wasn't her real name.
Could be. It could be. It doesn't actually say it like that. It could be right. But he, according to the Megillah, he just tells her not to reveal her lineage, like where she comes from, what her nationality is. No, don't tell anybody. That's the only instruction he gives her. And she listens. And Mordecai is constantly checking up on her. Yeah?
How are they able to initiate?
B'chol, every single day, he was walking in the Chatzar Beis HaNashim to know how she's doing and what's going on with her. So he was asking around and asking people. It could be that Daniel was still there and was giving him information.
Daniel, like...
from Sefer Daniel of fame, the hand on the wall, the writing on the wall. It could be he was there and helping out, but it doesn't say that in the Megillah. But Mordecai is constantly checking on her. And she did what they all do, which is take a lot of baths. Because I guess they were pretty filthy back then. This, I don't know if you're interested in history, but this is pretty fascinating. Apparently, the nobility worked very hard that their skin should be absorbed with like oils, and they should smell, their skin should smell good. And like, this is not happening with the peasants, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, they spent 6 months. Six months.
Like beating themselves and like...
Yeah. Like perfumes and all these kinds of things. We're not talking about like... You know what I'm talking about? We're talking about like bathing in like myrrh and like oils and like... I guess like the nobility, had their, they must have been like... They probably smelled good. I guess they like, you know... They
really, yeah, they're in the royal family. They're in the royal house. They're in like royalty.
I'm just interesting. It's just fascinating. Okay, in any case. So, nobody, not one of these girls went to Achashverosh before that process was finished. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not happening.
What's that smell?
Okay. So, fine. So Esther does it. She goes through this. It takes like a year.
Until Achashverosh picks a queen.
Well, until he chooses her. In other words, so that, then he has them all come to him. You know, different nights, so whatever, get their chance.
And then Esther comes queen.
Like thousands of people.
Well, there's still more to that, but... She's queen. But it's surprising because Esther doesn't know that she's Jewish.
No, she will not say. And by the way, just so you know this, in all of the linguistics of the psukim that says she went to Achashverosh, it always describes it as she was taken.
Yeah. This is important.
No, by the people, whatever. No, she was, in effect, we consider it to be rape. We don't consider it to be she willingly went to Achashverosh.
Right.
But Tilokach Esther Elhamo, she was taken to it.
Probably this is what the answer to the question of why didn't she get a get to Mordecai beforehand?
Was she, like the first time? Maybe she did, maybe she didn't.
The first time she,
now, we know that it was the third year of Achashverosh's reign when the story began, right? Because that's when we made the party. Now, when is this? Esther was taken b'chodesh asiri b'chodesh tebeth b'shnas sheva l'malchuso, in the seventh year of his reign. So how many years have elapsed since the party in Vashti and Esther becomes queen?
4 years.
4 years. I don't think we expect that because like it sounds like it happens right away. Yeah? Good?
This 6 months.
It's 4 years later. It's 4 years later. Okay. King loves her and decides she's going to become queen.
And then Haman comes into the story.
So there's a big party. Party is a big theme of the whole Megillah, yeah? There are parties and parties and parties. So this is the second party. The second party is the party when Esther becomes the queen. And then he does this whole thing with, like, taxes. He lowers taxes. The Megillah says that. It's just fascinating, you know? Like, he wants people to appreciate, oh, you know, you're going to appreciate it if the king lowers taxes, right? You're going to be like, okay, we like this girl. It's interesting, no? Like, why does he have to lower taxes, you know? So Tyrus is like, okay. Anyway, it's really interesting. Fine.
And then
there's a bizarre pasuk. Where it says, and when the king gathered women again, a second time.
What?
Exactly. Like, nobody even knows about this. It says, when he gathered the Basulos a second time, Mordecai was in, you know, the Shara Melech, and Esther still wouldn't tell her lineage. What in the world is going on? Why? I thought he just chose a queen. You know what I'm talking about? You want to see this inside? You believe me?
There's like a finalist round.
This is, you have the red Chumash?
244.
Take a look, three lines up from the bottom, plus he gets a test. What do you mean? So what is he doing this for? It's bizarre, no? Why is he having an under the beauty pageant? He chose Esther already.
Wasn't Esther like a...
She's decoy? Queen already. They just made the party.
I think Esther was just a decoy. Maybe he wasn't like fulfilled.
Probably what he wanted to be. He was trying out to see if his mind was changed, I guess. I don't know.
So according to Chazal,
he was trying to goad her into a good idea.
Yeah. Make her jealous. Yeah, that's what Chazal said.
I remember.
That was Mordechai's idea, they say. That he insisted the king, you know what, and he really wanted Esther to maybe be dropped.
He really wanted Esther
to get off. So, She still refused. And what happens next? Very important. What happens next is very important. Before Haman comes to her, something else happens first.
There's a plot for...
Very important. And what happens?
Two servants tried to kill Ahasuerus.
Or at least they plotted to, yeah.
But then I think Esther was the one that found... Mordechai is the one that told Esther.
Mordechai discovers the plot, but...
But, like...
tells Esther...
That Ahasuerus is going to be poisoned.
Right, so what? Why would he tell her? Call the cops, man.
Because Esther's, like, was the main person to have contact with the king. Because I don't think...
Really? Is that true?
Or maybe he would have been arrested, Mordechai, if he tries to. Because, like,
really? You tell the king that his life is in danger, you get arrested? Guys, why did... This is very important, by the way, for me. Why did Mordechai not just tell the cops that there was a threat against Ahasuerus? What did he do? He told Esther to tell the king. Why?
Because then he would get credit for it. If they told the cops, then there's no way he would get credit for it.
Who would get credit?
Mordechai.
Mordechai didn't get credit.
He did.
Esther got credit.
He told Esther to tell the king.
And Esther got credit.
Yeah, but Esther told him that Mordechai said it.
Okay, I want you to appreciate that nuance here, because it's very important according to
Esther's choice.
A Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that Mordechai told Esther to tell the king.
That's not the parsha.
Mordechai told Esther to tell the king. We assume, it makes sense, that he did that so that Esther would have an in with the king. You saved my life, right? That was Mordechai's idea, no? Push it. And Esther didn't follow instructions. She told the king that she heard it from Mordechai. Okay, so maybe she did follow instructions. Maybe she wanted to kill two birds with one stone, somehow bring in Mordechai to this. I don't know. But that's not exactly what Mordechai wanted her to do. Yeah? And now, what does it say in the books?
Do that.
That Mordechai saved the king's life. And that was because Esther didn't follow instructions. Yeah? You with me?
Yeah.
Okay, keep going. Jonathan, keep going.
Then after the Ahasuerus finds out, he kills the two servants that tried to plot him. I think, I don't know their names, but...
Big Son and Teresh.
Big Thane and Pharaoh.
Big Son and Darish.
They're crazy people.
And they are killed, they're executed.
And then Mordechai gets praised. Or I think
it gets written in the book.
Just
written down. Nothing happens. There's no party, there's no recognition. He's written in the book, and we go on. What? Everything, well, this is what's in the. Yeah. Okay, but that's what happens. Written down, and we move on.
Then Haman comes in.
Boo! Now,
I hate Aramaics. I mean, Mullocks.
I hate. So now, it's just interesting because, you know, like we said before, it might be this guy Mahuman, might be Haman that suggested we should kill Vashti. You know, we said that before. So, when it says that Haman came to power, you know, it's interesting. What does it say? Gidal Hamelch Ahasuerus is Haman. He raised him up. So it doesn't necessarily mean this is the first time he's showing up on the scene. It could be. He was there. Somehow he got promoted. You know what I mean? That's how Chazal are looking at it, that he was always there, but this was like some kind of promotion. Now, it gets a little weird. What? Yeah. That's Haman. So, there's something really strange things happens. You know, it's a little distracting.
There's a lot of in and out between.
The all of the servants of the king. You know what they would do? Kareem mishtachavim lahaman.
It would bow down to Haman.
That's weird, no?
Mordechai didn't.
Right. Well, that's what this is all headed. But that's a little strange. We don't know where that's coming from in the Megillah. It just says that that's what everybody did.
Because he was like the second in command.
Because he has like an enormous...
So that's what always happened?
Because he has like an enormous ego.
He was basically Ahasuerus, just not Ahasuerus. He was just not the guy.
So I'm saying, in the Pashup Shot, you just get the impression that because he was so powerful, the people on their own, you know, bow down as a sign of respect. That's the impression.
It was a scary event. It was this most, like, terrifying.
I don't know. It doesn't say. Just says that everyone would bow down to him. But then it adds, because that's what the king commanded. Ah. So it's not just that he was, like, well-respected. It's like the king commanded people to bow down to him. That's weird, no? It's weird. Something weird's going on here. But okay, it is what it is. And Mordechai would not bend his knee or bow.
So Haman, like, saw that.
Good. So then Haman's informed about that, yeah.
And then he makes a plot of which day, or I think...
Wait, so but what's the story here?
The story is that...
So the king, the police, interrogate Mordechai.
Mordechai.
Yeah? And they say, well, dude, why are you not following the rules of the king? Yeah? Because that's a law. Why are you not following the law?
Because he had an avoda zara.
So that's what Chazal say. But again, it doesn't say it in the Megillah. We don't know. Yeah? So he refused to follow the law. So eventually...
He doesn't get arrested.
No, it doesn't seem like it. It's interesting. So...
So then he kind
they of, told Haman. You know, what do we do about this guy? He's not following the law, you know? And then it says...
Kill him with kindness.
They told Haman that he was a Jew. Ah. So Haman suddenly would refuse to bow, and he got really upset. But here's what's fascinating. It was like, I don't know how you translate this word right. It was like beneath him to just kill Mordechai. Like, I'm going to kill Mordechai for not bowing down? Like, what? That's weird. That is petty. So, but genocide is okay. Yeah, I'm serious.
Any rape is, I mean, any resistance.
What?
No, right? So that's what happens.
You're Freudian.
See, he said, you know what? Let's wipe out the Jews. Bizarre, no?
Yeah.
So let's try to put ourselves in Haman's head right now, right? So he's like, really, the only problem I
didn't bow down. Eh, it's fine. Oh, it was a Jew? Oh, gotta kill all the Jews.
Yeah, let's just wipe him out. Let's just wipe out the people.
It's gotta be because he was a Moloch. Like,
it's so crazy. But that's already something that, like... Okay, so then he came up, right? Jonathan came up with, like, a whole cheshbon about why the Jews are so terrible. Which makes a lot of sense, you know? They keep them so separate. They're not really your brother, you know? Like the Jews always are. We're like our own people. We try to do that so we don't like assimilate, you know? So that was Haman's plug to Achashverosh. Let's get rid of these people. Now, there's a little bit more to the story because it says, by the way, this is important. The Megillah from time to time gives us a timeline.
Oh, I like that.
The Megillah from time to time gives us a timeline. And that's very important because when you learn the Megillah, it seems like it's all happening at once. And when you follow the dates, the years really, that the Megillah gives you, you get the impression this really didn't all happen at once. So when did this happen? It says, B'chodesh HaRishon, which is Nisan, our first month.
B'chodesh Nisan.
Yeah. B'shna Shteim Esrei Melech Achashverosh. So what year of his reign is it?
The first month of Nisan.
It's 12th year.
12th year.
Think about this for a minute. Vashti, the party on Vashti, was his third year. Esther was the seventh year. How many years have gone by before this all happened?
It's five.
That's the math major. 16.
9.
5.
46.
7 to 12, right?
7 plus 5 is 12, yeah.
Unless you want to count all the way back from Vashti, so then you have...
9.
Yeah? 23. So it's 9 years from Vashti. Esther, think about it, right? Esther's been queen for 5 years. Nothing's happened. Right? Most people don't chop this. Esther's been queen and nothing's going on for 5 years. Yeah? Nothing. Why is she queen? She has no idea. Leading a miserable life, eating seeds.
Yeah?
Because there's no kosher food, you know? So she is probably pretty thin, keeping her figure. And whatever. She's miserable. I would imagine she's pretty miserable. Right? I don't know. Maybe she's able to get out of the palace a little. I don't know. She's obviously not hanging out with the Jews because A, Mordechai said you're not allowed to tell Achashverosh your nationality, and B, that would give it away, right?
Yeah, the whole surprise. So the big surprise is she's going to ruin it.
So, and also, okay, and she has no idea. Okay, but the bottom line is it's 12 years into his reign, 5 years after Esther has become queen, and Haman does this whole lottery thing, this raffle, yeah? What's the raffle? What's the purpose of the raffle? To figure out what day to commit genocide.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do that raffle every day.
And it comes out, of course, to be Adar.
Adar Aleph.
Now, just, this is also important. What month are we in now?
Adar Aleph.
No, no, I mean in the Megillah.
Oh, March.
In the Megillah. Okay. Where are we in holding in our learning of Megillah?
Nisan. The 13th month.
So it's Nisan and Adar is how many months later?
One month.
It's 1 month backwards.
Misha.
It's 11 months later. That's also important to realize. Haman's decree to annihilate the Jews was 11 months later. So we're in, what month are we in now?
We keep skipping.
Nisan.
Wait, what?
We are in Nisan in the story. And Haman makes his lottery and decides 11 months later in Adar, on Yud Gimel Adar, which we celebrate this time as Esther, I'm going to ask Ahasuerus to destroy, to annihilate the Jews.
Why is it so important that we see a timeline?
So you'll see in a minute, like, everything takes a long time. And if you would have been living at the time, you would not be connecting these dots. But from our perspective, we have this whole story that connects all the dots. Like, oh, wow, it's like a whole story. But, like, if you would have been living there, you'd be like, what's going on? Like, you know, nothing's happening, you know? Like, if Esther goes in, and the next day she has a chance to save the Jews, you'd be like, ah, that's why she was there. She's 5 years! Do nothing! Yeah.
That's crazy.
So, we should get, like, a microphone into the bathroom so everyone can listen while they're gone. So,
Wait, Esther was, like, eating, like, fruits, though, right? She could eat, like, fruits.
That's why she was thin.
Bathroom.
Yeah, but she, you know, I don't know exactly how
she... Fruits
or
sugar?
If you ate only fruits...
They didn't have any OU back then in the Persian Empire. Yeah,
the decree goes out. Yeah. How does the decree go out?
What?
The decree goes out to annihilate the Jews in 11 months on Yom Kippur. How does the decree go out?
Hear ye.
Hear ye. So these, I guess the signs are posted, or maybe they're just reported. I don't know how many people could read back then. I don't know. But this word goes out, the decree is issued, and everyone's like, down with this. Like, that's okay. Right?
Yeah,
everyone's
lit.
Fine. This
let's
is the
kill those Zionists.
Serious anti-Semitism over here.
So then the people...
Okay, what happens next?
So how much...
Mordechai finds out about this. Yeah. And by the way, why is Mordechai, like, himself very upset?
Why is nobody here?
Because this is his fault! Right? This is nuts! Okay. Mordechai caused the genocide of the Jews.
That's right. You should have just bowed down.
If he had just bowed down, we wouldn't be having any problems right now. Did all the other Jews bow down?
Yes.
Yes? Are you with me? Yeah. So Mordechai, you know what it says about him? It says he understood what was going on over here, and then he caused it. But he ripped his clothes, and he put on sackcloth.
You don't get to act like you're sad after you caused your genocide, okay?
And he put ashes on his head, and he went out into the middle of the city, and he cried out a great and bitter cry. The Vilna Gaon's right, it was great cry, because it was so big deal, and it was bitter because it was his fault.
I get rid of women, period.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, so now he wants to go to Esther, right?
For help.
Yeah.
And Esther, like, Esther.
Why you told her, right?
It's so interesting. You know what? She sees him, right? She sees him in the courtyard wearing what?
Sackcloth.
Yeah? And what does she do?
Give him clothes, new clothes.
She sends him clothes.
Who, Mordechai?
No, Esther.
What is that about? What is that about? What is that?
I think
it's adopted daughter.
Like father to daughter relations. Like,
but I mean, he's doing this for a reason. Why is she trying to dress him up?
She has to go speak to the king.
What?
He has to go speak to the king.
She has no idea
why he's there.
She has to speak to Khan
that
he'll get annulled.
They're about to get all killed.
She's like, what?
So strange. I'm not exactly sure what's going on here.
She's just seeing her uncle be like,
Father.
It's not like he only clothes he owns.
What?
He must be doing this for
Father
a reason. So she thinks that this is like not the approach to take or something, right? She thinks this is like not the way to go.
Well, Esther saw Mordechai being upset. So
she said, get dressed. She sent the clothes and said, get dressed.
Get dressed.
Like, apparently she thinks this is like not the way to go.
She's playing code. She's actually secretly conversing with him through her weird messenger.
To do what? Yeah. I'm just asking you, why didn't she like accept that he's in sackcloth? Like, what is going on over here? What?
No one would be first of all,
she hasn't heard the decree yet.
She has not heard the decree yet.
Could be that, yes.
But why would she tell him to get dressed?
Because he's like, he's saying, like,
because
he's
she didn't hear the decree.
Is he just saying he's being weird? Like,
yeah,
what's her thought process
like
here?
Yeah, or like something,
like this guy,
something's
yeah,
wrong.
Maybe
like,
she didn't recognize it was Mordecai and she didn't want to give him clues.
No. I think she did recognize him and she just gave him.
Anyway, she is following the laws of the kingdom. She is following the politics, right?
Yeah.
You don't do that. Are you with me? No, what's the same? Gabi's listening. Yeah, you don't do that. Right? She says to him, you don't.
The Persian.
You work for the king. Dress nice.
If you come, if you show up in the palace, you show up in your clothes. Put your clothes on. Right? She's upset at him for not, for like.
He's in the, but he's in the city hall. He's not in the palace though. He's in the city.
He's in the Shaar HaMelech.
We can derive from this that you have to wear clothes when you daven.
Anyway.
Nice deduction.
So they have a whole conversation, right? Jonathan, they have a whole conversation?
Yeah.
And what happens? Whatever. See, he shows her, he gives her a copy or communicates to her the decree.
Yeah.
Then after that, like, Esther goes to Ahasuerus.
Well, so he tells her to do something, right? This we spoke about yesterday.
Not,
she's like, are you kidding me? I'm going to get killed. I can't walk into the king unannounced.
So
that's the death penalty.
Was
a party. So hold on. So he convinces her with the whole cosmic rematch that we discussed.
Yeah.
He convinces her to go, and she makes a very important request. What's her request?
If we have another party.
I like to.
We have a party again.
Back up. She makes a request for Mordecai.
Oh, can we have a party again?
No.
Oh,
no.
Fast 3 days.
At this point,
yes.
At this point,
yes. Get together the Jews and make a massive Tehillim rally.
Is Mordecai already in the book at this point for
yes.
saving the king's life?
Yes. Make a massive Tehillim rally.
How many years are we in right now?
What?
The
12 years of Ahasuerus. Yes, Esther's been queen for 5 years. And now Mordecai says, listen, maybe this is why you're the queen, right? And cosmic rematch, you gotta be Masake and Shoal, right? And so she says, okay, I'm going to do it. But get the Jews together. Ready for this? Fast for 3 days.
Mesotil, man.
Are you ready for this? I'm going
to
knock your socks off. You got your socks on? They're coming off.
Make the female Tehillim chats.
When are we now? What month are we in?
We're still in Nissan.
Nissan. We're in Nissan.
We're in
the Megillah story. We're in Megillah. We're in Nissan. And when in Nissan?
Bathroom boy.
We're like, peace off.
The 12th day of Nissan.
The 13th, right? 13th. And wait a minute. If they fast for 3 days, and it's the third... Did you guys know this?
Pesach wasn't...
Now I do.
They fasted Pesach. They didn't eat matzah and maror, right?
They didn't do the same.
Oh, it was.
Of course it did. It existed since you see us from Sinai.
Oh, it was. Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you know this?
No.
The 3-day fast that we call the fast of Esther, I don't know what we call it, yeah? The 3-day fast was the era of Pesach and the first 2 days of Pesach.
You can't fast on Pesach.
Now, when are the Jews supposed to be annihilated?
Adar.
11 months later.
I'm Purim.
But when did the decree go out? Right before Pesach. So Esther says, listen, I'll go to the king in 3 days, fast for three. It's like fascinating, no?
Yeah.
The decree's not for another year.
Do you think the Jews were like,
yeah?
We're going to be a little bit.
But then we got to think about it right away. So they fast for 3 days. They don't eat matzah. They don't eat maror. No karpas. You know what I'm saying?
They dress up in their
coat. 3 days
straight.
They did not dress up in
costume. 3 days straight. Laila Bayom. And I and my servants will fast as well. And I'm going to go to the king like that. She probably had bad breath. 3 days of fasting. And then she says this famous line, V'kasher avareti, avareti. Whatever I lose, I lose. Which when you read it, the Pashup Shah means if he kills me, he kills me. But Chazal say not only that, but she's going to Ahasuerus for the first time willingly.
It is what it is.
This will not be considered rape. This will be her going to Ahasuerus willingly. So Mordecai follows everything she said to do. Okay, so what happens next?
Then, Esther invites Ahasuerus to a party.
So she shows up, right?
She shows up.
Trembling because he may kill her.
Yeah.
But doesn't she also ask if Haman can also join?
Yes.
But first he pardons her.
This moment is way more significant than anybody thinks. Because when she shows up in front of Ahasuerus, she is breaking the law, right?
Yeah.
She is doing something that is a capital crime. Literally, she presenting herself unannounced to the king is the death penalty. Like you're not allowed to do that.
I would never do that.
Right? We don't think of it that way. We think of it like, oh, you know, a king could kill you if he wants. No, it's the opposite. The king's going to kill you. the king could pardon you if he wants. Right? We think about exactly the opposite. We're so used to it from our youth. When we were kids, he's like, no. She did something that should have gotten her killed. But he did decide to pardon her. She was pardoned. Wow. Okay. So he sees her, and she, whatever. And yeah, and that's what she says. I have one request.
And then they request
that the king and
Haman
should come to a party. When is this party?
In the 14th day of Nisan.
Tomorrow, yeah?
Tomorrow, yeah.
Tomorrow, not tonight.
Wait.
What did she say?
Wasn't this the 15th of Nisan?
Yeah, Haman thought he was about to get
it. Well, it's 3 days. So Yud Gimel, well, let's say, let's assume it's Yud Dalet. Yud Dalet, Tes Vav, and Tes Zayin. So let's assume this is, she's on, it's Tes Zayin now.
It's Chol Hamoed.
It's Tes Zayin now, it's Chol Hamoed. And she says, I want you to come to a party. When's the party?
Yeah, the 17th Nisan. Tomorrow.
Yavo HaMelech Haman Hayom. Today. Today. To the party that I have made. So, okay. They do. Now, this is also critical. Pretend you're Achashverosh for a minute, yeah? Your queen just comes in, and what does she want from you?
She wants to host you for a party. With Haman.
With Haman, right?
Yeah.
Now, okay, you know, what are your thoughts? What's your thought process about this, Achashverosh?
That's strange.
Why? Obviously, this is not like a personal thing. This is like a political thing, right? And so since it's the second in command, you know, it makes sense. I guess you would be there. This is obviously something political going on, no?
A bunch of other people, a politician, as well? Why just Haman specifically? That seems like sus.
Maybe. I don't know. Weird, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what to make of this. I'm not sure Achashverosh was sure what to make of this. I'm not sure what Esther was thinking. You have to wonder that, right? You have to consider, what was Esther thinking? Because she had a plan. And her plan is not clear. But she says, okay, come today. And they do, yes?
Okay.
What happens? Let's go all the details here. By the way, in Megillas Esther, one of the reasons I'm talking about the timeline so much is because there's like a lot of stuff that happens, and it's like a lot of years. And then all of a sudden, the core of Megillas Esther is all in one night. One night, like everything turns.
Would.
So it's just fascinating to view it that way. There's like a lot of years, and then pinch zoom, and like everything's happening in one night. So okay, here's where we go. We have a party. You ready for this? This is the big night. So they come, yes? And now we're not told anything other than what did Esther say at this big political meeting?
Come to another party.
I have one request. Come tomorrow for another party. Really? Yeah. Okay, I mean, this is a little weird, but like, okay, you know, I don't know. I don't know how she got away with that. That's weird.
Yeah.
Really weird. Okay, so that's what happens. Okay, ready for this?
Yeah.
What happens next? Let's go.
Then
Haman leaves.
Haman leaves.
Yeah, what does it say? Come on, Tess. Vayetze Haman biyamahu, sameach letov lev. How does he feel?
He feels happy.
I mean, dude, I'm the second in command of the known world. Right? Like, until now, people would have bowed down, whatever he has. But now, like, this made it very clear. The queen needs to meet with the king and me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, he's the Schmitz. I mean, he's the top of the world. I mean, literally, the world. So he is mamish excited. And what happens? He gets outside and he's like, you know, on cloud nine. Wow, I am the best. And who does he meet?
Then we skip the dreams of...
We're on order. Everything's in order. And who does he meet up with?
Mordechai.
And Mordechai goes, oh, right? No. Mordechai goes, feh. And he refuses to bow down. Kidarko, right? Now, you see the contrast here, right? I mean, Haman is like here, yeah? And Mordechai is like, right? he like, what do you do that? When you like pick the guy up and like body slam, right? He body slammed him, no?
Yep.
Body. And
who
song you listen to? Whoa. So, wow. So Haman got mad. I mean,
it feels
he
like they knew each other.
Was mad.
It's like they knew each other.
I don't know what he knew him, but what he knew about him was he's the guy that I'm committing genocide because of. And on the day that I have been clearly recognized as the most powerful person on earth. Okay, after Achashverosh. Now, this guy's not going to bow down. That's it. I'm finished with him, right? You with me? I'm finished. But he doesn't make the decision on his own because, I don't know, I guess he was a little chicken. And he goes home. And he meets up with his wife. I love to say, you know, and he calls the people that love him and his wife.
A donkey.
You know what he's passing? He says, but Yahweh's off. He brought his all the people that love him and his wife.
Wait, what? What, his wife doesn't love him?
That's what Pasuk says! But Yahweh is Ohavav Vezereshishto. I love that Pasuk. Anyway, so Haman tells them all of the kavod, all of his wealth, all of his children that he has, everything that he has everything. He is the richest, most powerful. You can hear this diatribe. And then he says, you know what? None of this means anything to me. Because this guy Mordechai refuses to bow down.
Oh,
that's bizarre.
My bad,
this guy's a guy of a monster.
He's guy of a monster. Okay, so you know what she says? No, no, you will make. Jonathan, what does she say to do?
She says, "Kill him."
How?
By hang
him on.
What kind of hanging?
Next to the house, the palm off.
I want you to make an Empire State Building gallows. You know what I'm talking about? So wherever you are in the city, there's gonna be Mordechai. Blowing in the wind. You know what I'm saying? That everywhere you go, you will see that you are the most powerful person because, like, here's someone that went against you. You know. Now, he's got a problem, right? Politics. He's got a problem because he's got to be a little careful because he's second in command.
He's not first in command.
Yeah. And, you know, you can't just do whatever you want, you know? So what does he need to do?
He needs to talk to Ahasuerus. He
needs to get the king's permission.
Right. And he talks about it.
Now. So so here's what's happening, right? Haman starts heading to the palace.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, freeze, right? Freeze frame.
Has a dream.
Meanwhile, Ahasuerus came back from his party. And he can't sleep. Now, we don't know why he can't sleep.
I know why.
Why?
Because Hashem didn't want him to.
We could surmise that there's a lot going on in his mind. What might be going on in his mind?
What is Esther? This is
bothering him, right? No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that in the Megillah, but it's certainly a possibility that what happened that evening is the reason that he couldn't sleep. Yeah? So, what would you do if you couldn't sleep?
I would ask someone to read me the bedtime story.
You learn Gemara, right? Because if you learn Gemara, guaranteed you'll fall asleep in no time, no?
I'll watch something because it's boring and it's going to put me to sleep.
So,
the Torah would just energize me.
Yeah, it's like I want to like stay up and learn.
I don't know. Let's be honest, right? If you were Ahasuerus and you really couldn't sleep, like what would you do?
Ask someone to read me a story.
A story?
Well, that's what he did.
Read?
No, I'm not asking what he did. I'm asking what do you think he would do?
He would ask Esther to come and comfort him.
I would drink wine.
Or drink wine.
Okay, I think I would probably drink wine. Or maybe...
Esther.
Probably read a book, probably. Is it
maybe, okay, maybe call your wife or a concubine or something. I hear that.
Read a book, probably.
What?
Read a book.
Read a book, really? I don't know, maybe.
Pack a fat bowl.
Maybe something with music. I mean, I think it depends on what's bothering him, right? I mean, if he's stressed out, if that's what it is...
You know how to do that very well.
If he's stressed out, so then he needs like a stress reliever, no?
Maybe workout routine.
I don't know how to do it. I've never smoked.
Is everyone okay?
Robert.
Yo, this is really good. That's good.
If he's stressed out. Ezra, if he's stressed out, so then he needs a stress reliever, no? Ahasuerus.
His wife.
Maybe. Okay, stress reliever. I don't know. But it's fascinating. I'm just saying like this. If he wants the Chronicles read. Like, what? Why would he do that? Because that's going to put him to sleep? I don't think so. I don't think that makes any sense. What does he want?
He wants Haman to be killed.
He wants to repay debts?
Not debts.
What does it say in the Chronicles of the King? What is written in the Chronicles of a King? What is in this book?
His past story.
His glory.
Isn't
that right? No?
And who needs a reward.
Meaning, he's feeling like a little bit like down on himself. Esther, like, you know, is inviting Haman. Like, maybe I'm not so great. Right? He's trying to shore up that he's the best. So he wants them to read him all of his glories, no?
Yeah.
Pasha, no? Isn't that Pasha?
Yeah.
Pasha.
Worked to Pasha or no?
Yeah.
Yep.
Pasha.
Now, get... Okay, are we in agreement or no?
Yes.
But instead, he asked one of his servants to read him the story about his past history.
Shut up.
But in all the history, he talks about how great Mordechai is, which doesn't make sense.
No. It says, and you know how great you are, the king? You are so great that the Lord, you know, the gods spared your life. because Mordechai discovered a plot and you were saved. No, I mean, that's what it says.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
The angle on it is not going to be, and this amazing guy, Mordechai, blah, blah, blah. It's not going to be what it says in the Chronicles. It's going to say, and you were saved, and your life was spared, because you are obviously the greatest king ever in existence, and your life was spared, miraculously. No?
Yeah.
So, the king says, wow, you know, did we make a party? You know, like what? So this guy Mordechai saved my life, you know? I don't know, for some reason he has this thought. Like, did I repay him? Like, did I do anything for him? And they say no.
What did they say?
So now, you're missing the best part of Megillus Esther. Like,
what are they doing? Are they actually chasing each other? 4-year-old.
Okay, this is quite literally, like, my favorite part of the Megillah. Yeah?
This is it.
This is like... Sit down. This is the best part. So now, are you ready? Are you with me?
Yes.
Wait, with everything that's happened so far. Sit down.
Sorry, you're up. You
literally just lost. Go. You can get a figure for me. Right. So now, right? So now. You ready?
Yep.
Okay.
Haman is on his way back from his house. Why is he coming?
Kill Mordechai. Getting permission.
Right. It's all that's going through his head. Kill Mordechai. Okay. He's on his way in. Yeah. Now, Achashverosh is like, I feel like worthless. I feel like I'm not, like, you know, read me my chronicles. Like, you're amazing. God's saved your life. You know, what did we do to reward Mordechai? Like, nothing. No party. I mean, anything. So the king is like, we gotta do something. What should we do? Should we get him a cake? What should we do? And he's an advisor. Because the king's an idiot. So he says, I need an advisor to tell me what to do about this guy Mordechai, right? So here comes Haman. He's in the chatzer. It's really, really early, late in one morning, whatever it is. Right? The middle of the night. So Haman's not going into the palace. He's just waiting for his first opportunity because he can't stand this guy Mordechai. He's so angry. The first opportunity he's going in and asking for his head, right?
Yeah.
Off your phones. So now, Haman's like, wait, kill Mordechai. And Achashverosh is like, I need an advisor. Is there anybody here? Why would anybody be in the middle of the night? Is there anybody here? Yeah, Haman's here. Where da? Haman's here. Bring him in. So Haman's like, this is Givaldic. I thought I was going to have to wait like hours, right? But now I'm going to be able to kill Mordechai now. Haman, king wants to see you. Yes! Kill Mordechai. All right, Haman. Yeah, how you doing, king? So I couldn't sleep tonight. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear. I have a question for you. Okay, king, can we just kill? No, we have a question first. What's your question, king? There's this guy that I want to reward, Ezra. Ezra, you got to listen to me. There's this guy I want to reward. Yeah? What do I do to, like, a person I really want to reward? And Haman's like, kill Mordechai.
You give him metal freedom.
Oh, yeah. The king wants to reward somebody. I just went to a party. Me, king, and Esther. Obviously, he's talking about me, right? That's what he's thinking about. Like, he wants to, like, make sure that, like, I like it. He's talking about me.
Well, maybe Esther likes it.
Okay, king. I know this game. I'm thinking, if there's really a person you want to reward, you dress him up in the king's robes. Yeah, and you know, you ride him on the king's horse. Wearing the king's crown. My crown? Okay, not the crown. And you ride him through the streets, and you say, this is what you do to a person the king wants to reward. The king's like, this is bizarre. You want to dress up a person like the king that the king wants to reward? What do you think, I'm talking about you? This is weird. All right, go do that to Mordechai.
What?
Wait, what? You hear the contrast here?
Yeah.
This is crazy. But he was on his way, literally, to ask to kill Mordechai. And instead, because of this bizarre incident, and in the Chronicles, it didn't say Esther saved your life. Which it should have said.
Yeah.
It doesn't say Esther. It says
Mordechai.
So because of that little coinkydink, so Mordechai never got rewarded. So the king says to Haman, who's about to kill Mordechai, I want you to go reward Mordechai. This is nuts.
Yeah, it is.
So he has no choice. So he goes to find this guy, and Haman is like, this is a bad day. Yeah? So he leaves.
Womp womp.
We get a bit of a tribute.
Okay, you with me?
Yep.
Worked on you? I lost you?
No.
So now what happens next? So he goes and he parades Mordechai. He doesn't have a choice. He parades Mordechai through the streets. What?
You should do this impression during the Megillah reading.
Okay, so he goes and he parades Mordecai through the streets, and then he goes home. And you know what happens. You know what happens when he goes home, right? What?
Haman. His daughter put poop on his head and then kills herself.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So he is filthy, whatever it is. And he doesn't even have time to change. Right?
Yeah.
It's the same night! He doesn't have time to like change his clothes and take a shower. And he's like, Haman! It's time for the party! Ah! Let's go! He's like, okay. Yeah?
His daughter kills herself?
Yeah, according to the Medrash. Doesn't say that.
Oh, my gosh.
It just says he went home. Avel v'chafui rosh. Why is he in Avel? So we would say he's in mourning because like everything had happened. But the Medrash says because his daughter, Mamash, killed herself because she dumped the toilet on his head thinking it was Mordechai. Okay, anyway, so now what happens? That Perek Zion. Oh, wait. So then Haman tells the story to not the people that love him, but his wife. Yeah? And what does she say? Okay, you're in trouble. If this guy is a Jew, which of course he was a Jew, everyone knew that, right? But if you've started to fall in front of Mordechai, this is not good. Now, where is she coming from? So she's saying, because we know, come on, you guys can't talk during this. No, you can't. If you started to fall, that means that you're on the way down, which means the Jews are going to way up. Like before now, right?
Situation. It's a decree that he was making about the last month's
plan. Right, but she's saying to him that something just happened here that should not have happened. Because the way it works is that when the Jews are down, we go up. But if the Jews are suddenly going up,
we go down.
We're in trouble. So Haman gets a little nervous here. Okay, but in any case, so they drag him to the party. Okay, go ahead. Perek Zion.
So basically they...
Come on, guys, seriously, come on.
So Haman goes to the par. Well, what about Mordechai, about Haman, like, serving Mordechai? Because once Ahasuerus sees Haman, he asks him, can you go,
We did the whole thing. This is what happened. It. So now they drag Haman. Haman is, like, went, just went home, doesn't even have time to change. Party!
So,
okay?
So Esther, like, serves Haman and Ahasuerus drinks, and... they're enjoying the party while Esther's fasting because it was during the 3 days.
Could be 3 is actually over, actually. I never thought about that. Could be 3 is over now.
She wasn't eating in the party.
I think she might have. She might have conveyed.
I don't know. But in any case, so they go to the party, and now the king says to Esther,
what's your request that you
want? Okay, what do you want? I'll give you half the kingdom.
I have a serious question.
Can it wait?
Yeah. How about,
is it about this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why was Esther allowed to marry the king if he's not Jewish?
She was forced to.
Sure that it was all, yeah, we spoke about that a little bit, that it was all considered like rape and whatever until she went willingly, you know, but also maybe to save the Jewish people is different, complicated. But in any case, so we can talk about it more later. So the king says to her, what do you want? Yes?
How about trying to kill me?
Well, sort of, yeah?
There's this man.
Is this man trying to murder my people?
Yeah, she built it up, right?
And then Ahasuerus is wondering, who the heck is this guy?
Who would want to assassinate the queen?
And who are your people? And who's this man? Who's this person?
Like, so she says...
She points at Haman.
Haman.
This evil Haman.
He's like, oh, this is a really bad day. Right? But this is a really bad day. So what happened? What does Ahasuerus do?
He walks out. He's out. He's like, I can't handle this.
He said, I can't handle this, right? So he goes out in the garden. He's got to get some fresh air, right? He's like, I can't handle this, right? Yeah. He somehow manages to, like, calm himself down. Yeah?
Yeah.
And he comes back in. And what does the Megillah say?
He goes to the garden.
He goes back in. And where is Haman?
Haman is on top of Esther.
Now, what he's really doing is, like, begging for his life, right? That's really what he's doing. But Ahasuerus, he has this whole... story in his head that Haman is trying to maybe do something with her or kill her. I don't know. He's trying to usurp the kingdom. He for sure wants to be the king because he wants to walk around in the robes of the king. And right, that's what he said. So he is really nervous about this guy right now.
He might want to do something as like Ahasuerus did, because Ahasuerus married Vashti to become king, and Haman's trying to do the same thing to marry Esther.
Problem is that Esther just said he's trying to kill her.
Yeah.
So he has a whole narrative in his head. Yeah? So he walks in, he sees Haman like on top of Esther from his perspective, which is pretty bizarre.
Yeah.
And then he's like, seriously? I'm in the house and you're raping her when I'm in the house? And he's like, what? And he said, that's it. Kill him.
No, right? Wait, he says, and then he sees his tree being cut down by the
No, he says, kill him.
Oh, kill
him? Off with his head.
And then it says, like, a hood when
now,
it first
comes along, Carbona, yeah, and says, you know who else he was trying to kill?
Mordecai.
Mordecai was the guy that you just rewarded for saving your life, right? He's like, are you serious? So he's like, yeah, in fact, he made this whole Empire State Building gallows to hang him so everybody should be able to see.
So Ahasuerus says, hang him there.
Well, hang him on that.
Have it really quick, though.
This is all one night. All in one night.
This is all one night?
All in one night.
Second command gets hang just
all
because
in one night. This is the party the next morning. So they covered his head, and they took him out, and they executed him.
That's the end of Haman.
And that's not the end of Megillah Esther.
But they also executed his...
Why did they execute all of his sons, too?
Yeah, okay, so hold on. Extra. Let's finish the story. So, at this point, basically what happened was Ahasuerus did something very interesting that seems to have never been done before. Ahasuerus gave the position of Haman to Esther. Yeah, we don't think about it like this. Well, it says, on that day, the king gave to Esther... base Haman, and Mordecai came in front of the king, and Esther said, you know, I don't know if she said he's my uncle, I don't know exactly what she said, it doesn't describe in detail, but she said, he's very important to me.
So give him the dog.
So he said, okay, and he gave the Haman's ring to Mordecai. So, I don't know exactly the delineation of powers here, but Esther and Mordecai just took over all of Haman's house and position in the kingdom. And then
war comes in.
It seems that we don't have a clear timeline here, but it says that Esther additionally made another request, and she fell in front of the king and she cried and she begged and she said, you know, we need to do something about this decree. Because Haman was only part of the problem, but there is a decree on the books that in 11 months my people are to be annihilated. Now this is crazy. You want to talk political intrigue. That's the word I was looking for. You want to hear? You want to talk political intrigue? This is it. So, she says, you know, if you really love me, then you would take back the decree. You know what he says?
Can't do that.
You can't do that. What do you mean you can't do that? It doesn't work that way. We have a legal system here. Yeah? You know what I'm talking about? You can't just take away your... If someone wanted to take away one of the amendments, you can just... The president can just decide to, like, yeah, cross it out.
But
it doesn't work like that.
That's kind of different, bro. The king is an absolute monarch, and the president is a...
Apparently not. That's what he says. Wow. He says, you can't just do that. So you know what he says? I tell you what. Write another decree that says what?
The Jews can fight back.
That the Jews can fight back. Are you getting this? This in real, think about this for real, right? This is not a story. This really happened. Write another decree that says, hear ye, by official word of this kingdom which rules the entire earth. On the day that it's decreed that Jews shall be annihilated, the Jews have a right to defend themselves.
That wasn't there before.
And kill whoever they want.
It's overriding the decree. It's over,
the first decree is the Jews are to be annihilated.
It's overriding the decree. And basically, let them defend.
Not allowed to fight back. It would be a violation of the decree of the king. Now the decree is that, and he didn't take away the decree of genocide. He's additionally adding that now they can defend themselves.
Changing the first decree.
Now the Jews,
in effect, right? And there's the message is supposed to get his politics. The message is that I'm repealing the decree, because if I'm not repealing the decree, why would I allow the Jews to defend themselves?
Yeah, and,
but I'm not repealing the decree because you can't do that.
Because of the legal system.
It's crazy, no?
Yeah.
It's crazy. Okay, so the word goes out, and it's signed and sealed and delivered.
Oh, that's a great song.
And the Jews start celebrating.
Stevie Wonder.
Now, when are we holding right now, by the way? Where are we? It's actually not in Nisan, actually. It actually is Sivan. That it says over here, where does it say?
Misha Nisadar.
It says that the second decree.
Stop saying we
Where does it say the date? Here, in Pasuk Yud Beis, where do you see it? It says, "V'yomech amolim zamech adar b'shlosha asar shneim asar chodesh adar." No, that's not it. No, that's not it. Where does it say the date? It's a Bible reason, please. Here. Test. Puzzle test. So they called it the scribes. When at that time, when was it? B'chodesh ha-shlishi, b'chodesh Sivan, right? Nisan Iyar Sivan. B'shlosha v'esrim bo. What's shlosha v'esrim?
30.
20 and 3. 20. Yeah, shlosha v'esrim. Esrim is 20, shlosha is 3. 23rd. So the 23rd of Sivan was the second decree. The first decree was Yud Gimel Nisan. The second decree was, how many days later?
3?
10?
60.
10, 60, 10. 2 months and 10 days, yeah? No? Nisan, Iyar, Sivan. So that's 2 months and 10 days.
70 days.
70 days.
Oh, that's close.
Ooh.
70 days.
70 days.
Is there a significance to the number?
Yeah, because there's the amount of years that the Jews are supposed to be in exile.
You remember this? Go back to scratch. Go back to where we started today. Then Achashverosh's whole Seuda was because the 70 years are up.
Yeah.
And they waited 70 days for this decree to officially be repealed?
I think not.
The number 70 is crazy over here. And by the way, what's the gematria? What's the gematria of wine?
70?
Yud, Nun, 15, 20 is 70.
70.
Did you know that? The whole Megillah is all about the number 70. Anyway, so the word goes out, and the Jews start celebrating because, you know, we're, so to speak, saved, even though we got a lot of work to do. And everything flipped. Whereas, when the first decree went out, we said that all the Jews were in mourning. Now it says all the Jews were happy and celebrating. Anyway, the Megillah goes on to say that time passed and the day came to get genocided. Is that a word? Genocided?
Yeah.
The day came to be genocided. And they fought back and they destroyed, and there was calculations made who got killed and all kinds of things. And so there's like a war cabinet meeting. Huh?
How many people got killed?
So it says,
like, how many Jews and how many non-Jews?
So here, I'll tell you what it says.
Not a single Jew died.
Yep.
They took on the whole world.
The Jews, I guess, were, I don't know, if whatever. It's hard to know exactly what happened. It was an army or whatever, but what happened was
the idea.
In Shushan, you know how many they killed?
7,500.
Remember, it was illegal. Technically, the Jews were allowed to defend themselves with men. You're not really allowed to kill them. So these 500 people in Shushan were obviously going against what the king wanted. The Targum translates the ones that got killed as being from Amalek. It doesn't say that in the Megillah, but that's what the Targum says, is that the people that still fought anyway and wanted to kill the Jews anyway were Amalekim. And then it lists Haman's 10 sons. Those were also killed.
Hamas Amalekim.
Hamas.
Yeah.
And how many were killed all over the place? 500 plus the 10 sons of him. Homie knows Mazu. You know what? She says, let's do this again tomorrow to make sure that we cleanse the capital of all of the bad people. It's okay. It's okay. You know, you need one more day, no problem. So another 300 were killed. Purim, so wait, by the way, let me make this clear. What happened on Yud Gimel Adar?
Adar?
The decree was made.
Yud Gimel Nisan, the decree was made. Yud Gimel Adar was the day that genocide was supposed to happen, and the Jews fought and killed 500 Amalekim.
I don't remember that happened.
They were Amalek?
You weren't there?
No.
And they asked for one more day to take care. They asked for one more day to take care of Shushan. They killed another 300.
Which is why we did Shushan Purim.
So the day that they were fighting in Shushan is the day that outside of Shushan they made a big party to celebrate. That's what we call Purim. Wait, you guys gotta get this. You gotta know this.
Why don't people in walled cities fast on our Purim and then?
Hold on. That's a more question. But hold on, before we get there, make sure we have this straight. Yud Gimel Adar, when we have Tinus Esther, that's when the war was. Yeah? And then they requested one more day to take care of Shushan, the capital. So that day that they were fighting in Shushan was Yud Dalet. Outside of Shushan, the rest of the world, the Jews were all celebrating. So we call that Purim.
Ooh. Yeah?
And then Shushan Purim is the next day because that's the day they stopped fighting. Right? They weren't fighting anymore. And so that's called Shushan Purim.
Shushan Purim, the day that only Shushan celebrates Purim.
What in the world does this have anything to do with walled cities that are not Shushan? So the Gemara asks this question. And the Gemara says, because this whole miracle happened. Any Zionists in here? Any Leva Torah guys?
Yeah.
So this whole story happened where?
In Shushan.
In the walled city.
Yeah, but we're part of the world.
Shushan.
In
Persia, right? Nowadays, like Iran. It's nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. Wow. Eretz Yisrael is not part of this. So Chazal said, we can't leave Eretz Yisrael so out of this. It's not fair. It's not right. So you know what? The walled cities that are celebrating Shushan Purim will make it the walled cities in Eretz Yisrael times of Shuvah Nun. That's what the Gemara says.
It's arbitrarily chosen.
Now, I think there's more to it than that, because...
I think you just leave all the...
Okay, anyway, but that's that. So... The Megillah now spells out that's why we have Purim 2 days. And then it says that Mordechai wrote another book. And he sent it out to the whole known world. And he told them, you know, we're going to make a holiday. Yeah? We're going to make this thing called Purim. You want to hear something crazy?
Yes. No.
The first year that they celebrated and all these decrees went out, do you know what the minhag? You know what the mitzvahs were?
What?
Lasos some yemei mishtev esimcha. You gotta have a party
and drink wine
and dress up
and send mishloach manos.
Yeah.
Where does dressing up come from?
And matanas lavyonim are not there. Yeah. It says the alkeinah yudim hayoshvim. You know what they're supposed to do? Simcha u'mishne yom tov, mishloach manos. That's it. What's missing?
Gift.
Matanas
Lavionim. Matanas Lavionim and Megillah.
And then it says the next year, or I don't know if it was later, but sometime later, Mordechai sent out books again, and this time he adds Matanas Lavionim. Can I tell you what Rav Kahn loves to say about this? The first year, imagine us being there at this time, and our lives were just saved. Yeah? What do you think the celebration was like that year?
So petty.
What are you doing? Crazy, right? Like, we didn't know what we were going to do. And all of a sudden, Haman, like, gets killed, and, like, the decree is over, Esther is in power, Mordechai is, like, second in command to the king, like, in one night. Crazy, no? Crazy. And this is because we fasted for 3 straight days in Davin, the Ribbono Shel Olam, and everything turned around.
The whole thing was because of the 70-day party in the beginning, no?
Yeah. The simcha that they're having right now. Yeah. But the simcha is because, like, this is nuts.
It's literally
and they saw the hand of Hashem. They saw the hand of Hashem. It's crazy. So the first year, all the parties where everyone was sending stuff to each other. Yeah, chiseling a cheesecake. Everyone's, like, sending stuff to each other, right? But you know what happened after a year or two? Everything calms down. And, like, you want to celebrate again. And you want to remember that time. But now, not everybody's, like, your friend anymore. You know what I mean? Now there's, like, rich people, poor people. You know what I mean? I'm not always those my friends. Not my friends. Are you with me on this? When you're, like, in the army, you know? Like, all of this happened October 7th, right? Like, the Jews all got together. Yeah, after time. You know what I'm saying? So you know what Mordechai did to try to shore this up?
What'd I do?
Matanos Lavionim. Wait, do you know what I'm saying or no? Matanos Lavionim was there because the first year there was no such thing as Avionim. Right? There was no classes. There were no poor Jews. There were no not my friend Jews. There was, like, everybody was celebrating. But if you just land the road, you know. So you got to do Matanos Lavionim now. Yeah, you hear what I'm saying or no?
Yeah.
So it's a little, it's a little depressing.
Make Zeras?
What?
Morikai could just make Zeras?
He was the head of the
second command?
But like, man, no, not like a, like, like a Judaic command. It was like a legal command. Like,
I think
what?
So. That sounds like, that sounds like.
Like, hear ye, all Jews have to give gifts? Like, is that how it went down?
Anyways, let me just finish. So the Jews accepted this, yeah? And this was something they accepted upon themselves for, like, all generations. And there's going to be Purim every year. And let's, you want to see how the Megillah ends? This is how the Megillah ends. So Esther wrote down the whole story. It's called the Igeres HaPurim HaZos HaSheinis, the second version. And they sent them out to all of the Jews. Divrei Shalom VeEmes. So everybody should observe Purim, read this Megillah's Esther thing, you know? And then it says, the very end, the last perek is like a couple of psukim. So, you know, the king, you know, made a tax. What does the tax have to do with anything? And we want to know more about him. It's all written down in the Persian Chronicles. Mordechai was like second in command. You know, most people liked him, you know? And the Megillah goes... One of my friends, my one of my special friends, Avi Kohn, he loves to say, it's so bizarre that like it mentions Nachash Rish made a tax. You know what I'm talking about? What does it do with anything? The contrast, ready for this? The contrast is that by us, we saw the hand of Hashem. We saw the hand of Hashem. By Achashverosh? No. Taxes. Let's move on. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
What's the basis for...